now here is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
That's me, I guess. Hi, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. It's beautiful out there today, and even Jerry might agree with that. So he managed to hobble into the studio, and we're very happy to have him. So please settle back and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope that you can take the time to participate. That's very, very important to us. The idea is we give you questions on many, many different subjects, current events, movies, history, and literature, geography, television, radio, just about everything else. And then you try to answer them. Or if you have a question of your own, you can pose that to us. We're not that hard to stump, really. So the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We've been doing this for 21 years. We almost have it down. Almost. We're working on it. I also want to remind you we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255, so feel free to call either one of those numbers. If you'd like to send us an email with an idea for the show or your reaction to our charm, that is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear the show online, you can certainly do that outside of the 1.5 mile radius that our station covers. And you can do that by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And, of course, Debbie is here, and we'll do her usual fantastic job putting the show online for you to listen to at your leisure. That should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight at kalw.org, along with many of our older classic and not-so-classic shows. So feel free to listen, take your time, and stay up all night listening to those old
shows. What's the difference between a classic show and a non-classic show?
The same difference between a live politician, a statesman is a dead politician. So it's akin to that, I think, basically. Anyway, so once more, the number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. So we're going to start with the round introductions, and here's the first. Jerry Nachman is not running for anything these days, especially not buses.
Okay, Pauline Teichman hopes to break the glass ceiling on Minds Over Matter.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wonders that with Hillary now declaring, is it too late for Harold Stassen to throw his hat into the ring?
Every election year, I try to work Harold Stassen in somehow. we'll start with Jerry Nachman, I guess.
Okay. What actor is on the American Film Institute's list of both 50 greatest heroes and 50 greatest villains?
Oh, that's interesting. 50 greatest heroes and 50 greatest villains. Can I ask you this one question? Does this person play heroes more often or villains more often, would you say?
Well, I've never seen any of this person's movies, so I don't know. I would say heroes, because most actors would rather play heroes.
No, I think most actors would probably rather play villains. It's usually
more
a lot more fun.
The interesting character actors would be the stars.
So you have never seen any of this person's movies?
No.
Wow.
I've seen snippets, but I've never seen a whole movie.
So it's not Robert Montgomery, then, or anybody like that. That's interesting. Okay.
I don't know. I can't say. I always guess heroes, but I'm not sure.
That's interesting. Okay.
Anybody I would think about, you would have seen, so...
Yeah.
That's the part that stumps me.
That kind of threw a monkey wrench into it, that you have not seen any of this person's
movies.
More
monkey wrenches are better. What? Yeah.
Or at least not in total, you know. I have to think about that, then. Why don't you read the question?
Okay, what actor is on the American Film Institute's list of both 50 greatest heroes and 50 greatest villains in movie history?
Is this person still alive?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And Pauline, why don't you go ahead, too?
Sure. Okay. Paul Van Haver is better known by what name?
Van Haver?
V-A-N and then Haver, H-A-V-E-R.
Is this person alive?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Any relation to June Van Haver?
No.
Is this an actor?
Not an actor, but a performer for sure.
Oh.
Not singer, an actor, I guess, but a performer. Mm.
Philip Van Haver?
No, Paul.
Paul Van Haver. Could be a singer. Is this a contemporary person?
Yes, very.
Very contemporary.
Very contemporary.
Does he still use his first name, Paul?
Oh, that's a good question.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, gee. I don't know. Elton John.
No.
Okay.
Paul Van Haver.
Is this person known by one name?
They are known by one name, and I can give a clue that leads to another question.
Sting.
No.
Oh.
That one.
The name he goes by is actually a name in Verlan, which leads to my question of what is Verlan.
What is it?
You mean the poet?
Not Verlaine.
Oh.
Verlan. V-E-R-L-A-N.
Oh. I don't know. It's all French to me.
Is this a French performer?
Not French.
Oh, Belgium. Belgian? Aha. Uh-huh.
Belgian.
Who's a Belgian rock star?
I didn't say rock.
I know. I'm...
A Belgian singer.
Oh, I know who it is. Of course.
Good, because I don't.
Jacques Brel.
No, but very inspired by him.
Oh, okay. Brel was Belgian.
I said contemporary. Brel's been dead for years.
But Brel was
a contemporary Belgian.
Brel was a Belgian,
singer.
Right?
Brel was Belgian.
Contemporary Belgian.
We're
singer.
Circling around it.
That's a very, very limited.
Yeah, and
group.
He was inspired by Brel, huh?
In part. I mean, he's one of his.
All right. Okay. Leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Your Matter.
You're from Union City.
Hello.
I have a couple questions.
Yes.
The first one is, which one of the supporting cast in All in the Family was an Oscar winner?
The supporting cast in All
in the Family. Susan. Later in the series, by the way.
Sally Struthers.
No.
This person was a regular?
Yeah, regular. Semi-regular, though. It came after the show when Archie bought that bar.
You mean the person was... Later on when Archie bought the bar, this person was on the show?
Yes.
Is it somebody who ended up going on to have their own show? Offshoot?
No, she did appear on another series, though.
I'm sorry, say that again?
She did appear on another series, though.
Oh, so it's a woman.
Well, not B. Arthur.
No.
Betty Garrett.
No, not an Oscar winner. So this is an acting Oscar winner?
No, it's an actor. Best supporting actress.
Best supporting actress.
Yeah. It's for a cry movie.
Not Adrian Barbeau.
Was it Estelle Parsons?
Yeah, yes, there's Helen Bell, yes.
All right.
She later appeared on Roseanne, too.
Yeah, I just vaguely remember her on All in the Family.
Yeah. She played Blanche Heppner. You know Barney Heppner's wife.
Oh, right. Okay.
Here's my second question.
Yes.
I think, what was the number of the apartment house in the Odd Couple?
Oh, maybe Jerry will
it's
know.
It's the opening sequence.
Can you? What was the number of the apartment house in the Odd Couple?
I have no idea.
It was on Park Avenue, I think.
Park Avenue. It's right at the very beginning when Felix and Oscar are getting out of the apartment house.
Did it start with a 7?
No.
Okay.
Feels something like 1, 2, 3.
It's got 4 digits.
4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Did it start with a 5?
No.
This is too.
All right.
This is too obscure.
No. Don't know.
You don't give up?
Yeah.
1, 2, 4, 9.
1, 2, 4, 9.
Oh, of course.
I had the first 2.
Of course, I had it. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
It's right in a canopy, right at the very beginning. You know, they close up on it, and then they show the part. You know, they're getting out of the apartment. And then they show Felix. Get an Oscar cigar with his umbrella.
Right. Now, I couldn't go any farther than Park Avenue.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Now, are you okay? Can you hear me?
Well, I don't know. I can hear fine.
You can hear fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Then we're
all right. Okay.
There are only 2 directions.
You're all good.
Okay. You're all good. All right. Give you a couple questions here. What is the highest grossing film of all time based on a novel by a Nobel Prize winner?
Oh, gosh.
What is the highest... Now, when I say Nobel Prize, it's the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Right.
Okay. What is the highest grossing film of all time based on a novel by a Nobel Prize winner, Nobel Prize for Literature?
Color Purple.
It's not a bad guess. No, not Color Purple.
Is it contemporary like that?
Not that contemporary. Not as contemporary as that. Let's put it that way. What is the highest grossing film of all time based on a novel by a Nobel Prize winner?
Nobel Prize winner.
Yes, a Nobel Prize laureate. And it's $2 billion, made $2 billion, but that's adjusted for inflation, you know, taken in terms of when it was made.
Uh-huh. Well, is it like before 1950?
No, it's not. Second question. Now, no piecemeal on this. You have to guess three at a time, okay? What are the three most visited museums in the world that are named after a person? What are the three most visited museums in the world that are named after a person? Now, you have to make three guesses, okay? So once more, what are the three most visited museums in the world that are named after a person or people, I guess?
Okay, I'm going to go with Van Gogh, Picasso, and Rodin.
No.
So none of those, or just not right because
just not right. Say it, what were your guesses once more?
Van Gogh, Picasso, and Rodin.
None of them.
Wow. No, I think, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. I can only think of one.
Well, there are lots of them, but yeah.
Because the Van Gogh Museum's visited.
Are they all named for painters or sometimes for
sculptors?
Philanthropists? None of them are named for painters.
None of them.
No. So once more, what are the three most visited museums in the world that are named after people?
After people, not artists.
I didn't ever say artists.
In my mind, I heard artists.
I'm not responsible for that. What is the highest grossing film of all time based on a novel by a Nobel Prize winner? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Debbie.
It is you.
Oh, this is Billy from Bernal.
Yes.
How about the villain and the hero? How about William Bendix?
No, he was never a hero, I don't think.
Well, he was Life O'Reilly. Everybody loved him.
He was a villain, too.
He was a villain.
He usually played a henchman.
He was a bad guy, but okay.
No.
How about the film? Is Dr. Zhivago?
Yes, the film is Dr. Zhivago. Very good. Excellent.
Oh, I got a bell. And your radius is only 1.5 miles?
No, we're just kidding.
Okay, good. I was worried. Okay. Who was... And just as a tribute to the late, great Stan Freberg.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Raise a cup to him.
Yeah, really. What a sad, sad thing. Who was the maiden in Dragonnet?
Who played her?
Who played the maiden in Dragonnet?
June Foray.
Bingo. Oh.
Yeah, right. Good job.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
One of the great parodies of all time.
Yeah? That was I didn't realize what a big seller that was. That was a big hit.
Yeah. It was. I think his biggest hit. Do you have his LP, Stan Freberg Presents the United States of America?
Yeah.
That's a masterwork, I think.
And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds for a Matter. Hi, you're on.
Hi, I'm Jeff from San Leandro. How are you guys?
Good, thanks, Jeff.
Okay, I've got an interesting question. It's a three-part question.
Mm-hmm.
What year did the Surgeon General come out to say that cigarette smoke had a direct tie-in to lung cancer? Part two, what year did they cease advertising on television? Mm. And part three, why?
I think the original report came out in the mid-60s.
I was going to say 63.
Very close.
64, maybe?
Yep, 64.
Okay. I knew it was right around there.
Two more parts.
They stopped
when did
us.
They, when did they, what was the last year they advertised on television?
1980, I'll say.
No.
Television was earlier than that.
I think it's the 70s.
What made them stop?
Well, they were forced to.
It's a Food and Drug Administration that wanted to force them to put it.
There was no national decree say you can't advertise anymore. That That occurred well after they stopped. Now, they stopped in 1971,
right.
But why did they stop?
Wasn't it some sort of a lawsuit?
Nope.
No. No, we don't know.
The national government sponsored, it's called the Fairness Law. Oh. So some bright young lawyer saw that the ads that had been on television only espoused smoking. So he submitted a letter to the whatever bureau, the Bureau of Broadcasting,
right.
And they found in his favor for the Fairness Law. So they had to, so the government had to start putting films on about the bad part about
right.
that.
Right, equal time for
yeah.
Well,
right.
They don't do that with any other product. That doesn't make sense.
So once they started that, 3 to 4 months later, the sales dropped off significantly.
Right.
So it didn't pay the cigarette companies to advertise on television.
Interesting.
Well, I didn't see any anti-drinking commercials on TV.
Oh, there are anti-drinking commercials
yeah,
on TV.
Quite a few.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in the beginning, I don't think.
Maybe not in the beginning, but now there are.
But drinking, unlike smoking, is not a direct correlation to death.
Oh, okay.
It can be.
Well, thank you very much.
Enjoy your day.
All right, you too.
He didn't tell us what year, did he? What
71.
Oh, 71.
71,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
So what was the most lucrative commodity traded in the Roman Empire in 2,000 years ago, more than any other commodity in the whole world?
Is this
a commodity like olive oil?
Something like that.
Is it a food product?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not a food product.
No.
But she says like olive oil.
it's a commodity.
It's a commodity.
Okay.
Is it still a commodity traded today?
It is.
Oh.
And it is not a food product.
No.
Soap.
No.
Huh. It's not a food product. It's still traded.
Jewelry.
No.
Gold, something.
Is it something that's a natural product? Is it something that's...
Oh, it's natural, yeah. It's completely natural. It was probably in the Garden of Eden.
Honey. No, the honey's a food.
No,
product.
No,
that doesn't
she
work.
She says it's not a something. It's
okay.
Not a food product.
I got that.
A cup of coal.
Coal?
No.
I don't know.
No, we don't know.
Okay, do you want me to put it out or tell you or what?
You can let people guess if you want. Do you want to do that?
Okay, let's let him guess. I'll tell you at the end of this thing because I have another question.
Oh, all right. Well, give us the other question, then we'll put you on hold
another
and you can give the answer.
Is, what does it mean to pay through the nose, and where did that derive from?
It sounds like something like mummification in Egypt or something.
No.
It's interesting.
Pay through the nose.
Through the nose. How old is this?
Oh, hundreds and hundreds of years old.
Right.
That's with how they would pull.
Centuries
that.
Old.
Pay through the nose. Anything? Interesting. Anything to do with blood?
No.
Anything to do with horse racing?
No.
No, we don't know that either.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Vikings used to do their marauding all over Europe and Scandinavia and British Isles, early British Isles.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they would do is they would say, well, we will not invade you and we will not rape you and we will not kill you and we will not burn your fields if you pay us tribute. So what these different countries and areas did was that they figured that if they just told them that they would just pay them all the time, that would keep the Vikings away.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. And the Vikings continued to invade and do their marauding over these nations, even after they were paid the tribute.
Where does the nose come in?
Well, so then there was a counter-reaction to that, and they said, well, we're just not going to pay you anymore because you're not adhering to our offer. So what they did was they took the head of the tribe or the warlord or whoever it was or the you know the head chief and they took him and they cut his nose and they said well if you don't pay us a tribute then you will all pay through the nose And it just comes from a Viking, from Viking lore.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, so then I had, I wanted to give somebody there the the Roman commodity.
We're going to put you on hold. Hold on. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. And Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay, a 500-pound replica of a Hershey's Kiss was dropped from the flagpole at Times Square in 1990. Why?
Why? Why?
In 1990?
Mm-hmm. 500 pounds?
Yes.
Huh. Was it an anniversary of some kind?
No.
Times Square. Did the location have anything to do with the reason?
No.
Okay. Times Square. 1990. So. Did the year have anything to do with the reason?
No.
Okay. Did the kiss have anything
to do with it? Keep asking.
Okay. You said one Times Square, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he said that had nothing to do with it.
No.
500 pound.
You'd think we would have heard about this.
Was this a scientific experiment of some kind?
No.
No idea.
You have 16 more questions.
No. It was dropped from?
A flagpole? Is that
flagpole on one Times Square.
Flagpole.
Okay. All right. Just read the question once more.
Okay. A 500-pound replica of a Hershey's Kiss was dropped from the flagpole at One Times Square in 1990. Why?
Performance art.
No, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
That's the best guess so far.
All right.
It would be a great performance art. Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, this is David Oakland.
Hi, David.
Hi. I think I have a couple of answers and I have a question for you as well.
Okay.
For the museums named after people, did you need to get all three in order for it to be correct?
Well, that's my general idea, yeah.
That was the original idea.
I'm sticking to it for the moment.
Sounds
yes.
like if you get one, you'll just get a bill.
No, try the three.
Hello?
Yeah,
two
go
out
ahead.
Of three.
You there?
Hello?
David?
He's gone.
Huh. Hello?
Hi, David. Can you hear me? Are you there?
No.
No? Sorry, David. Call back, okay? And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Sid. How are you?
Good.
Very good. For the last few months, actually, people in astrophysics have been listening to special signals coming, and it was almost convincing it was coming from ET. But a lot of disappointments happened last week when they found out that signal was not coming from ET after all. It was coming from a home kitchen appliance. Yeah. It's very funny. It happened only when you're turning this thing, just the minute you turn it off. It does send signal very mimicking.
Is it a microwave?
It is a microwave.
Right.
Yeah. It is a microwave. All right. You're very good. Okay. Then the other question I have, we remember we talked about Fermi paradox and how very much we don't hear anything from anybody. How many gallons of water do you have to make 1 gallon of milk? Well, you know, talking about the drought, which is terrible.
It's something like 32.
No, more than that, because you have to count how much the,
no,
the cows
how much
drink.
To feed,
oh. You know,
so like I thought it was around 400 and something.
Something like that. More
how
than that.
Total?
What?
Yeah, much more.
Much more than 400.
No, it's less than 400. No, I'm sorry, much more than 400. I'm sorry, I'm tired.
4,000.
No. 686 gallons of water to make 1 gallon of milk.
Right. And this includes, this is because of the, including the cow?
Including the cow. And
yeah, okay.
So I'm doing my bit by not drinking milk. I'm helping save,
all right.
Conserve.
Well, how many gallons of water it takes to make just one almond, just single piece?
Yeah, I've seen that bandied about. Yeah.
Water.
How much?
100.
A
100.
I thought it was...
Very good. You're close.
Okay.
You're close.
How many?
86 gallons.
86, okay. Uh-huh.
86 gallons. For your audience, I have a very quick question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the happiest city, according to the Gallup poll, what is the happiest city in the United States?
Heaviest?
Happiest?
Happiest.
Happiest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
we are more happy there than anywhere else.
Pleasantville. Pleasanton.
No. Not there.
No, okay.
Not in California. Not
happy.
California.
It is not in California.
No.
No. I will give you a hint. In Florida.
Oh.
Oh.
Miami.
Orlando.
No. Get some more. Start when... The start was...
Boca Raton.
No.
Tampa.
No.
Key West.
No.
Tallahassee.
Why don't you don't gotta pull it? You can get it easily online. So for any physics people in your audience, ask him what is Einstein ring. It is a physics question. What is Einstein ring? Thank you, great show, and I look forward to listening to it from now on.
All right, thank you. And it's your turn, Polly.
Okay. The actresses who played Aunt Clara and Esmeralda, respectively, on Bewitched appeared side by side as partygoers in an iconic movie. Name the stars and the movie in which they appeared together.
Well, Aunt Clara was Marion Lorne, and
yes.
Spring Byington.
Esmeralda was Agnes Moorehead.
No.
Oh, that's not Esmeralda. Who? Esmeralda. Which one was Esmeralda?
No, Agnes Moorehead's the mother. Or mother-in-law.
Yeah, but I thought that was her name was Esmeralda.
No. Actually, Esmeralda was brought in after Marion Lorne passed away.
Oh, Alice Ghostly.
That's it. So now the movie that ties the two together.
Alice Ghostly and Marion Lorne.
Is that a well-known movie?
Oh, the movie's very well-known. It's an iconic movie.
Oh.
And they were, I'm sorry.
They appeared side by side as partygoers in this movie.
I can see.
It was just something that linked them again. Or
is this before the show, TV show?
I'm trying to remember.
Probably.
When the, so around the, I would, well, it had to be before because, one took over the other, so it had to be before you.
All right. I have to work on that. Okay.
I would probably about 15, 20 years before.
Before? Though that long?
Well, maybe. About, I think. I'm trying to think when that movie was, but...
So it's not Strangers on a Train.
No.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
That is you.
Okay, I'm Marcy in Oakland.
Hi.
The Three Museums.
Yes.
Anne Frank.
No.
No. Can I say my other two?
Yeah, go ahead.
Guggenheim?
That's no.
What I had that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good guess. Yeah.
Getty?
No.
That was my guess.
Those are great guesses.
Okay, that's all.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
What did she say? The first Guggenheim, Getty, and what was the first?
Anne Frank.
Anne Frank.
Oh, that's a good guess, yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Gerald Nachman from the French-American School in Berkeley, teacher Pauline Teichman. She's also a photographer. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. If you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. All right. Okay, I have a question now. You get one answer, Pauline, because this is sort of your kind of question.
You never limit yourself when it's your area.
You play by my rules or you don't play?
Oh, geez.
All right.
It's his bat and ball.
Exactly.
Apparently so.
I'll give you a more chances to answer later on, but for now, one answer. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you six authors. They all have written a famous children's book.
Oh, my God, I have the exact same question.
Oh, well, then don't use it. There are six authors here. They have all written a very famous children's book. And all these books have sold well over a million of copies, each of them. Okay? So all I want you to do is identify the name of the children's book. Okay? So there are six authors. Number one, Eric Carl. C-A-R-L-E.
They're not the same ones I have.
Number two, Janet Sebring Lowry. Number
they sound like contemporary, but fairly contemporary.
Not necessarily.
Really? Okay.
I mean, not old, but not very contemporary either.
Okay.
Number three, Watty, W-A-T-T-Y, Piper, P-I-P-E-R. Number four, Martin Handford, H-A-N-D-F-O-R-D. Number five, Robert McCloskey, M-C-C-L-O-S-K-R-Y, or K-S-Y. And number six, Dorothy Kunhardt, K-U-N-H-A-R-D-T. Now, all these authors have written very, very famous children's books that have sold well over a million copies each.
Yeah, I know McCloskey.
Let me just give the names once more.
Okay.
Eric Carle, Janet Sebring Lowry, Waddy Piper, Martin Handford, Robert McCloskey, and Dorothy Kunhardt. And I'll give you each one guess.
Okay, so
Jerry, I'll let Jerry go first because he said he...
Well, make way for Ducklings. McCloskey.
Yes, make way for Ducklings. Right.
And another, you wrote the Homer series.
Yes.
Homer Price series.
Eric Carle is the Hungry Caterpillar.
Right, the Very Hungry Caterpillar. Very good. Okay, so we're still looking for Janet Sebring Lowry, Waddy Piper, Martin Handford, and Dorothy Kunhardt, all wrote extremely popular children's books. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, the museum one, my first two guesses were already taken, the Getty and the Guggenheim, but how about the Tate?
Yes, I guess I'll break it up now. The Tate Modern is one of them, yes.
And I don't know if this is named after a person, so it's a wild guess, the Prado.
No.
And how about, can I guess on the movie actresses who perform together in a crowd scene?
Yes.
The timing seems wrong, but I'd want to say it's The Graduate.
That's absolutely right.
Oh, very good. Excellent.
Great. The what? Finally, thank you.
Thank you.
The Graduate.
Bye. The Graduate. It's funny, I don't remember that. Okay. And we're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat anything that hasn't been answered yet. Jerry?
Okay, I thought I would have some guesses on this. What actor is on both the American Film Institute's list of both 50 greatest heroes and 50 greatest villains in movie history? And a 500-pound replica of a Hershey's Kiss was dropped from the flagpole at one Times Square in 1990. Why?
Pauline?
The only one I have out is Paul Van Haver is better known by this name, and we said that the name he's known by is in Verlan, so what is Verlan? If you know that, it'll help you with the other.
All right. And what I'm looking for are the three most visited museums in the world that are named after a person. One of our callers got the Tate, Tate Modern, actually. But what are the other two? The other two museums, most visited museums in the world that are named after a person. And I have some best-selling children's book authors. I want you to name the book. All these books are extremely well-known and very widely sold. The ones left are Janet Sebring Lowry, Waddy Piper, Martin Handford, and Dorothy Kunhardt.
Is it? Okay, I'm sorry.
What?
About the museums. Is the famous museum in Bilbao
that's called
the
Guggenheim. Too.
Oh, I thought it was the Gehry, not called the Gehry.
Okay. But it's Frank Gehry.
He's the architect.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, that's not it.
Yeah.
And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
It's Harry and Susan in Berkeley.
Hi.
Okay. The museums.
Yes.
The Smithsonian?
No.
How about the Tyson?
No.
All right. What about the Gardner?
No.
Okay.
The not commodity. The Smithsonian.
I don't know whether she left the commodity answer. Was it either copper or lead?
Neither copper nor lead.
Okay. The actor on the best and, you know, the
Dell.
Hero. And, I cannot remember his name, but he played Hamilton Lecter.
Oh, Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
No.
Derek Bogart?
No.
All right.
No.
Nice tries, but no. Thank you.
Nice well, thank you. Appreciate it. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer here on Minds Over Matter, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, hi, this is Mark, formerly from the Valley of Portola, now from New Helvetia.
Yeah.
The museums, the Tate, and then is it Victoria and Albert?
Yes, Victoria and Albert, very good.
And would the last one be the Pompidou?
It would not.
Or the Queen Sophia?
Yes, the Queen Sophia. I thought that would be the hardest one, but
where's
I guess
that?
It was. That's in Madrid.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Very good.
Hard to believe the Smithsonian is not one of them. Must be fourth.
So again, the three most visited museums in the world that are named after a person, the Tate Modern, the Victoria and Albert, and the Queen Sophia in Madrid, which is basically 20th century Spanish art. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda in El Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I was inspired by today's yearly sampling of how much people make in Parade magazine. It's always very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest one that I found was someone who made over $100 million, which was Floyd Mayweather, the fighter.
All right.
So that was kind of interesting. So that led me to go to Forbes to find out which countries had the most billionaires.
Mm.
And I was wondering if you could tell me the top five countries in the world in order with the most billionaires.
China.
Well, where is that ranked?
Because
Russia's in there.
Where is it ranked? No,
yeah,
don't think I can tell you that. I mean, I'd just be guessing. I'll say three.
Well, okay, keep going.
Is Russia? Russia?
Pardon me?
Russia?
Russia's in the top five, yes.
Mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia?
No.
What about Bahrain?
No.
Mexico?
No. I think one guy's got an awful lot, but I don't think there are that many billionaires.
Right. Carlos Slim.
Yeah, he's very, very rich. I'm not sure if he's the richest man in the world or if it's Bill Gates. I think it's Bill Gates.
Do we say U.S. or not?
Pardon me?
U.S.
U.S.
Yes, definitely U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So we have U.S., Russia, China, and
one other, it's a European country.
Germany.
Right, okay. Yeah. So U.S. is at the top, 536 billionaires, then China, then Germany, then India and Russia, very close together.
India.
So now if we talk about California, we have a lot of billionaires here, of course. And if you considered California as a country, where would it rank on the list?
Well, you mean of the billionaires list?
Yes.
Well, we have the seventh or the eighth largest economy in the world.
That sounds right.
Seventh.
Somewhere
and,
in there.
No, I'm saying number seven.
I don't have that.
Well, you don't know. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But where would it rank, putting it in the list of countries?
Oh,
well, that's what I'm guessing, seven.
Oh, so
no, but in the top five.
So
I think.
Of the billionaires in the United States, how many billionaires are in California? Is sort of what you're asking.
Well,
five.
No, more than that.
Yeah, more than that.
I'll say that we would maybe be
fifth. I meant to say.
Are you implying that we're in the top? We would be in the top five.
Well, I'm kind of asking you.
I think we'd be third.
I'll say fourth.
Uh-huh. Third, fourth.
I said fifth.
Okay. Well, third.
I've been
third,
yelling five.
Third is right.
Okay.
Yeah, and just after U.S. and China, we have 111 billionaires.
Hmm.
Okay, so one last question on the subject. What city in the world has the most billionaires?
Okay. Cupertino.
Hong Kong.
What was the first guess?
Hong
Cupertino.
Kong. Oh, Cupertino.
Cupertino. No.
Is it...
the most millionaires.
Not
right?
Not Hong Kong?
Is it a non-U.S. city?
Well, I want you to tell me.
No, we're asking you.
I asked you.
Oh, well, I don't have to divulge that.
Hong Kong?
Wait.
Not Hong Kong.
Jeez.
Is it the most... Millionaires or billionaires?
Billionaires.
All right. Well, Jerry's guess is a good one. Hong Kong. I'll say Shanghai.
No.
That was good.
San Francisco.
No. We've got quite a few, but not the...
All right. We give up.
Okay.
Tokyo.
New York.
Oh, New York.
Yeah, and they have 70 billionaires in New York City.
Wow.
So
okay.
That's pretty good.
They right. all live that, by the park.
Yeah, L.A. is 26 and San Francisco 22, according to what I read.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Linda.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I think it's your turn, Pauline.
Okay, so who, according to an old slogan, would rather fight than switch?
Who?
Yes. According to an
old
slogan.
It's a cigarette ad.
Yes, it
it's
is.
Marlboro, Marlboro.
No. Is it Winston?
Nope. Debbie has it.
You mean, is it the, you're looking for that product or...
Remember, they used to have the person with the
yes,
little black
exactly.
under their eye.
Bruise,
like,
yeah,
you're right, 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 right. It's not Marlboro. It's not Winston.
Keratin.
Yes.
Keratin.
Oh, very good. Very good, Jerry.
Debbie had it first, though.
Keratin.
Us Keratin smokers would rather fight than switch.
Interesting.
And actually, a second part to that is a 1967 speech by civil rights activist Thomas Todd did a parody on that slogan, which became the prelude to a 1989 hit. What was that hit, and what was the name of the band?
So you mean the hit had something to do with I'd Rather Fight Than Switch?
Well, I'd Rather Fight Than Switch, the sort of parody on it, the reversing of it that Thomas Todd used in his speech became the prelude to the song.
Oh, no idea. No idea. All right, leave that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds for Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Ah, great. All right, so do you guys get the actor yet?
No.
No.
Did you say he was alive or dead?
Alive.
Well, that strikes Humphrey Bogart and Jack Nicholson.
Well, no, Jack Nicholson's still alive.
Nicholson's very much alive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking, what's his name? Easy Rider.
So it's not Jack Nicholson, Jerry?
No.
Okay.
But it's not Jack?
No.
No.
Man, okay. And then is Roddy Piper, is that Where's Waldo?
No, it is not.
Okay. And then I have a question for you guys, and I don't know the answer to this, which is why I'm asking. You know the expression in restaurants, you 86-something, you know,
uh-huh.
Something
yeah.
is 86, you're out of it?
Kicked out.
What is it? Where does that come from?
Huh. I've heard that many times. I can't remember.
It's 86.
It's something about the address.
No.
It's not. It's not an address that people were thrown out of.
I think it was part of a code. Like they have numbered for various drinks, and the 86 would be no drinks at all, something like that.
Hmm.
We're not sure, but what we'll
yes,
do?
No.
What we'll do is we will we'll leave it out and let people guess on it if you like.
That'd be great. That's actually what I'd like.
Okay, let's do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Let's see here. This will get answered quickly, I would imagine. What does the word seder mean?
Seder?
S-A-T-Y-R?
Seder, as in Passover.
Oh, Seder. To put in order.
Yes.
Arrange in order, put in order.
Okay. Did you know that, Jerry?
No.
That's why you say kol beseder, everything's in order, everything's A-OK.
I don't say that, but no, I never knew that. I know what Passover means.
Okay.
Hey, my bell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I never get my bells unless I request them.
All right.
Ring your bell.
Other than the Ten Commandments... Only one other film based on a Bible story was ever nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, that's a good question.
Other than the Ten Commandments, only one other film based on a Bible story, and it's a freely adapted Bible story, was ever nominated for Best Picture.
The greatest story ever told.
It's a good guess, but no, not that.
Oh, the one that's also about Christ.
Well, they're all about Christ in some way.
No, they aren't.
Well, most of them anyway. Not the Ten Commandments.
The one with Jeffrey Hunter.
Oh, the King of Kings?
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
It's the Mel Brooks.
The Blue-Eyed Christ. No, nothing to do with Mel Brooks. So other than the Ten Commandments, only one other film based on a Bible story or an incident from the Bible, maybe the best way to put it, was ever nominated for Best Picture.
Oh.
Crucifixion of Christ.
The
Jesus is not in the title. Just to give you a so it's
we're talking Old Testament,
is it Old or New Testament?
No, it's a New Testament.
New Testament. Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
So keep it in mind.
Okay. King Solomon's Mines.
No, that's
that's old.
No, that's not based on. Well, I mean, it's based on the Bible. And just, they mentioned King Solomon,
but that was a joke.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yes.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, this is me.
Hi.
Hi. Did you say that the actors were dead?
No. The actor that Jerry was asking
the question
about is
alive.
Is alive.
Very, very much alive.
Okay. My first guess is Bruce Willis.
No.
Good guess.
And my second guess is Anthony Hopkins.
No. Somebody guessed him. No, neither one.
Okay. And I wanted to guess Noah for the biblical picture.
That is a very good guess, but no.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What would be the movie based on Noah's story?
Well, there was a movie that just came out last year called Noah.
I think it was called Noah.
But that's Old Testament anyway. No.
Yeah, that's Old Testament. Okay. But that wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
Okay.
Let's see. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. The number to call us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Yes, Jerry.
White Christmas.
No, not White Christmas. Not White Christmas.
Okay.
That's
close, huh?
Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, it's Billy from Bernalligan, inside the 1.5 radius.
Yes.
How about the commodity from Rome?
Yes.
Leather?
Leather, Debbie? Is it leather? No, she's shaking her head now.
Ah, darn, and I'm just racking my brain over the bad guy and the good guy. But
Keep racking.
I am racking away. He blamed me already. Okay, no, okay. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. I have a guess for that. Gene Hackman?
No. He's played villains? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He won an Oscar for playing a villain.
Good
but
guy.
You've seen him, I would think.
No,
you've seen movies.
No.
Really?
What'd you say?
You've seen movies with him.
Yeah, sure, many. But yeah. not this person.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'm saying that was the part.
You may not have either.
Ah.
You probably have.
That might be a clue.
Yeah. I'm sure Dana has.
But he's alive.
He's seen everything.
Is he an American actor?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's an American film. Well, yes.
Oh.
It's one of these things you'll slap your forehead when I tell you.
Like Schwarzenegger.
He's American.
Yes. Schwarzenegger.
Yes!
Oh, okay.
Very good. Very good. Just barely said that.
You have never seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
No, I had actually thought about him. Not even Kindergarten Cop? I've seen that.
That's the only one that sounds possibly interesting.
That's the only one I've seen.
I've never seen an action film in my life.
Ah, okay. And
I get enough action in my real life.
Wow.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, hi, it's Brian in Oakland.
Hi, Brian.
I'm going to take a crack at the Verlan.
Yes.
Could you repeat the whole question again? It's been a while.
Yeah, okay. So the first part was Paul Van Haver is better known by this name. So it's a one-word name that's in Verlan. So what does Verlan mean and what is his name?
I have no idea what his name is, but Verlan is kind of like this pidgin language. It's a backwards language that the French use. It's a backwards language.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like the equivalent of Pig Latin. And it literally, yeah, Verlan exactly. is from the word l'envers.
I was going to say l'envers, which means like true language, right?
Well, which means opposite, so, or inverted. So that's exactly what it is. And so, actually, at this point in the thing, the person I'm looking for, their name is Verlan for maestro.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The French have all kinds of stuff with that. And I speak a little bit, and I never followed the Verlan. That's way too difficult.
Well, a lot of, no, it's actually pretty, like, a lot of words have come into common usage.
Yes. Well,
he did very well.
Yes, very nice.
Very well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Take care.
All right. Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. The Egyptian commodity, could that be salt?
Roman commodity, and no, it's not salt.
Oh. well. It's almost embarrassing, but was Barabbas the one that was, the Ten Commandments, the one that followed that?
Right, thing? Right. Well, you know, Barabbas, yes, was a character in the New Testament, but no, it was never nominated for Best Picture, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Wasn't there a picture based on that?
We compiled a few questions. Can I ask you just two of these?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
What was the name of the Jetsons' dog?
Oh, Meet George Jetson, Jane, his wife, his
Judy.
Boy Elroy,
daughter Judy. Elroy. No, where's the brother? his dog. What is the dog's name?
Oh God! It was a space-oriented, like a sort of name, wasn't it? Everything on the Jetsons.
Robot.
No.
Moondog.
What?
No.
We don't know.
But you're right, Dana. You're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Not far enough, though, in the right direction.
We don't know. What is it?
Do you want another one? Oh, you want it?
Yeah, tell us the name.
Oh, Astro?
Astro,
oh,
okay.
That's right.
Okay,
of course, as soon as I hear it, I remember. Astro.
Sure, do one more?
Yes, go ahead.
Let's see. I can put this either way. What was Fraser's dog's name?
Oh, the was Father's dog, really.
I know what kind of dog.
Yes, it was like a Jack Russell Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
What was Fraser's dog?
I watched the show a couple of times. The father's like trying to get him off the couch.
Oh my God!
Isn't this terrible?
Yes,
it really is. And I watched that show too. And I'm too busy thinking of RKO films from 1938.
ends in Y?
No, it starts with a. Start with an M. No. No, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Okay, well, it doesn't end with a Y, but a Y sound. How's that? Who knows?
It's not Murray, but it's something.
No, give it to us. Put me out of my misery.
Oh, okay. Eddie,
okay.
Eddie, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. More next week. That was great. I've never asked the question.
Good.
Come
I'm
back.
Glad you did.
Come back.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi, this is Peter in San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
The only reason I know this is because when I was a tiny tot in the 50s, I remember this book very well. It's Waddy Piper, and it's The Little Engine That Could.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Very good.
I love that book.
I'm glad you got that.
Talk about classics. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And does anyone know where the name Smithsonian comes from?
Mr. It's Smithson.
James Smithson.
Oh, it was a Smithson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Who was an Englishman, by the way.
Hmm. Not to be confused with James Naismith, who invented basketball.
Oh, all right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I can't believe that maybe this was the Bible movie, Samson and Delilah.
No, that wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, well, I didn't know, because I saw it recently.
But that's a Bible. I mean, it's a Bible movie. It's the story of Samson, but that's the Old Testament. This the one I have in mind is from the New Testament.
Okay. And it wasn't the robe, right?
It was the robe.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Great.
Don't you remember Richard Burton in the Bible?
Mm-hmm. You have a short thing from the a game?
I'm sorry?
You have time for a short game?
Yes.
Okay. So I just read this MGM stock company, and it's all about the stars.
Yes.
And so I picked out these four names that are so almost like the name themselves that, you know, you should be able to get it, like Frederick Austerlitz.
Fred Astaire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Marion Gowris.
Gowris. How do you spell that last?
Gowras.
Once more?
Marion Gowris. These are all MGM stars.
Right. Miriam Gowris.
The first name's the same.
Marion.
Oh, Miriam is the...
Marion.
Oh, Marion. Marion.
Marion.
And the first name is the same. Marion...
Davies.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Good.
And then this is a big musical star... Harry Leek in the 50s.
Harry Leek?
Oh, is that Howard Keel?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And then the last one is, you know, it's really obscure. Leon Wyckoff.
Oh, that's Leon Ames.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're too good. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Harkiel was leek spelled backwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And let's see. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. or toll-free 866-798-8255. Next call.
Hello?
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. So the movie, the biblical movie, it wasn't Ben-Hur? It was Ben-Hur that won an Academy.
I was going to guess Ben-Hur myself.
Hmm. Well...
It was Ben-Hur.
Your case
greatest,
is...
That's the greatest movie of all time.
Your case is an excellent one, although there's no character of Ben-Hur in the Bible. So, in other words, that was a made-up story.
Jesus was in that movie.
Oh, Jesus was in the movie, in a kind of a way, but it's not based on a Bible character. In other words, like Ben-Hur, there's no Ben-Hur in the Bible. So
I feel like the whole movie was based on Jesus. Ben-Hur was there what he needed to do.
All right, I'll give you credit for that.
Yeah.
Who was Ben-Hur? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Ben-Hur was played by Charles Heston.
But who was it?
I guess he was kind of a fictional character, and he was just a guy that lived at the same time. It was kind of like how Tom Hanks played what's his name, Forrest Gump, and all those. Mm.
Right. So he was, in other words, he was a Jewish aristocrat who was thrown into prison,
I've never seen that.
Anyway, okay, your answer is a good one. Thank you very much.
All right, yeah, I deserve a medal. You know, I just saved the day.
Okay, thanks. And next call, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter, yes.
Okay, I've got the answer for your 86, but it's not real specific. It's based on a speakeasy that was in Chicago.
Ah.
It ran through a building with a front address and a back address. And the cops always raided the front address. I don't remember the street. But the back address was 86. And so when you went out the back door to escape from being arrested in a sweep, you were 86 from the bar.
Good, you're right.
Interesting.
It is the address.
I like that.
That's a great story.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much. All right, time to clean up here, Jerry.
Okay, well, the 500-pound replica of Hershey's Kiss was dropped from the flagpole in Times Square in 1990, and I asked why. Well, the answer is obvious. To announce the debut of Hershey's Kisses with almonds.
Uh-huh. Okay. Paul Van Haver is better known by the name Stromae, and you're going to be hearing a lot about him if
I
you don't already
her.
Know.
Her?
Him. He's been working with Kanye West. He was just at South by Southwest.
Can't wait to hear about him.
He was just in Oakland for two nights. And fabulous. And the slogan, the Tarryton backwards slogan, prelude to Fight the Power, Public Enemy.
Oh.
By public.
let's see. The children's book authors nobody got. Janet Sebring Lowry, The Pokey Little Puppy.
Yeah. Oh, my
wrote
favorite.
That. Martin Hanford, Where's Waldo? Mm-hmm. Dorothy Kuhnhart, Pat the Bunny. So if we didn't get to your
those
call,
are real
yes,
classics.
Please remember that we're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from the French-American School in Berkeley, Pauline Teichman. Thank you very much, Pauline.
Thank you.
Our thanks, of course, I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks, of course, to Debbie Kennedy for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you'll make time to join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. We always look forward to being with you. Have a great week, everybody, and take care. Bye-bye.